Good morning. The open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, January 28th, 2021 will come to order. The first item on our agenda is advisory opinion, draft advisory opinion 2020-06, which was resolved on tally. And the next item on the agenda is audit division of recommendation memorandum on the Mississippi Republican Party A17-15. We have Robert Morcombe, Susanna Patius, and Dana Brown of the Audit Division here to discuss the matter. And Mr. Morcombe, if you're ready and would like to make a presentation, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Before you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum, ADRM, on the Mississippi Republican Party, which was submitted to the Commission for consideration on June 4th, 2020. The ADRM provides the audit staff's recommendation for each finding outlined in the draft final audit report. There are three findings. Finding one, misstatement of financial activity. Finding two, reporting of debts and obligations. Finding three, reporting of apparent independent expenditures. We will be happy to answer any questions regarding our recommendation memo or the outline findings. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this matter? No discussion. Are there any motions on this matter?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I do have one question about the memo before we get to motions.
Commissioner Traynor.
If you could you walk me through the reasoning behind finding three with regard to the independent expenditures? I'm not sure that I completely understand the direction that we're headed here with the mailer. So if you could walk me through that, I'd appreciate that.
Are you looking at the LRA 1077 contained on there for the DFAR beginning on page 4? It explains the notes considered by OGC for each mailer and the classification for it. 122.A and 122.B was the legal guidance for each of the eight mailers, with number eight removed, but number nine was brought back in, or brought in actually.
What page did you say was on?
Of four page of four? Seven of LRA 1077 for the DFAR.
And those are attached as exhibits, right? Somewhere?
They should be the in the voting matters, yes, folder.
Yeah. Let me go back to the...
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Bloom.
Yes, I believe I could supplement the response to Commissioner Traynor's question, if I may. Mr. Morcombe referred to our legal analysis of the draft final audit report, which contains a chart outlining our classification of each of the nine mailers. As we considered those classifications at the time, I should mention that we subsequently revised our classification of mailer eight in comments to the Audit Division recommendation memorandum, and we recommended that mailer eight be removed from finding three. But our assessment of the remaining eight mailers is still the same. That is, we consider them all to be express advocacy. Now, in terms of the larger issues that were also discussed in the independent expenditure finding.
Well, before you go to that, tell me, Tell me why eight got taken out real quickly.
We considered mailer eight to resemble mailers that we had recommended in the past not be considered independent expenditures because they were essentially preference polling rather than exhortations to vote for the identified candidates. And we alluded to a prior comments memorandum that we issued in connection with the previous audit. So that was the reason for our reversal on that particular mailer.
Okay. And you were going to speak to the broader issue?
Yes. So there were other issues that the committee raised in connection with the propriety of issuing this finding. One being the question of whether these mailers should be considered independent expenditures at all because their purpose was to solicit contributions. We outlined in our memorandum why we disagreed with the committee's position about that. The commission has issued four audits previously for final audit reports in which it accepted the conclusion that certain communications canvassed in those audit reports qualified as independent expenditures, despite the fact that the committee had also committees in those four previous audits had also raised that contention. So we were following precedent, essentially, with respect to that conclusion. The committee also raised a question about whether even if the mailer should be considered independent expenditures despite their fundraising content, they could be considered allocable according to their internally allocable, according to the different purposes or the different types of content that are contained in the communication. And we considered that matter, and we eventually concluded that they should not be considered internally allocable.
Why is that?
Our reasoning is that follows from statements of the commission, I beg your pardon, the commission made in its 1995 explanation and justification for the express advocacy regulation. The commission had discussed one hypothetical communication that contained both express advocacy and issue advocacy. And it issued a statement that despite the fact that the mailing contained both express advocacy and issue advocacy, it would still be considered express advocacy under the commission's express advocacy rule. And that logic or that principle seemed to us to be equally applicable to communications containing express advocacy and other kinds of content.
So for purposes of this audit, that's a matter of first impression for us with regard to it being a solicitation and what you've classified as an independent expenditure.
When you refer to the issue being one of first impression, are you referring, may I ask if you're referring to the question about whether solicitation messages can be considered express advocacy and independent expenditures at all, or are you referring to the issue of whether they can be allocated by their internal content?
Well, so the precedent that you cited to was issue advocacy and independent expenditures together. The question I have is the case of solicitation and independent expenditures, is this the first time that we've considered that?
I would say this is an issue of first impression regarding the question of allocation, which is a closer issue. But okay. Based on the four previous audits that we referred to, in our comments memorandum, that the question of whether a communication that whose purpose is to solicit contributions can be considered an independent expenditure at all, or rather whether a fundraising message should not be considered an independent expenditure by reason of its purpose to fundraise, we don't consider that to be an issue of first impression.
Well, so, I mean, I don't consider a solicitation to be an independent expenditure in any regards, but, and I don't see how, what test would the regulated community look to in putting together a solicitation email or solicitation letter what test would they look to determine whether or not it falls squarely within a solicitation and therefore not an independent expenditure, or it would be an independent expenditure?
Well, our view actually is that the test would be whether the solicitation message contains words of express advocacy, as the Commission Regulation on Express Advocacy defines that term, regardless of whether it's, So our view would be that if a solicitation message contains words of express advocacy, as the Commission's regulation defines that term, then the committee, that would be the test for the committee to consider whether it is an independent expenditure.
Okay, so just hypothetically here, you get one of these 9-page solicitation letters from the Mississippi Republican Party, and one sentence has express advocacy in it. The rest of the 9 pages is nothing more than reasons to donate money to the Mississippi Republican Party. The entire thing is express advocacy and therefore an independent expenditure.
Yes, based on the reasoning we've outlined in our comments.
Well, I'm just not convinced that that's the case, and given the nature of how state parties fundraise and the extent to which they go to solicit these funds, I cannot agree with that particular position. So, but I appreciate you informing me on it.
Thank you. Are there any further questions or discussion on this matter? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I gather that my colleague wants to delete findings. I, on the other hand, want to add findings. I think the findings are all fine, except there just aren't enough of them.
You're gonna add some more. Maybe I can agree to that. I don't know what they are.
Well, maybe you'll surprise me and agree with me. First of all, on the subject of whether solicitation would take a communication that otherwise includes express advocacy and would normally be considered independent expenditure out of the realm of an independent expenditure, I respectfully have to disagree with my colleague. Political committees in general are in the business of raising and spending money for the purpose of influencing elections. So when they raise money, they almost always say why they want to do that. It's because they're trying to influence elections. In the course of saying that they are trying to influence elections, that is almost all the time express advocacy. It would be very easy, and indeed political committees almost always include an ask for money, because why wouldn't they? So if we were to take out of the realm of independent expenditures everything that asked for money, we would be taking a lot of material out of that category. And that would have certain consequences for state party committees, but it would have even broader consequences for other political committees and other groups that engage in solicitations and express advocacy. Because state party committees, by definition, they're already political committees. They are going to be filing reports. But when we're talking about groups that are not state party committees, if they were able to take all of their solicitations out of the category of express advocacy, independent expenditures, if they were able to make all their independent expenditures basically not be counted as independent expenditures by virtue of just adding a solicitation onto it, it would become very easy for these outside groups to say, well, we're not political committees. We don't have to file any kind of disclosure whatsoever. And I think that would really undermine, it just creates too easy a path for evasion. And circumvention of the FECA, of the important disclosure mission that is contained in the FECA, and that is at the heart of this agency's operations. So I have to respectfully disagree with my colleague that having a solicitation included in a communication that also includes express advocacy somehow negates the express advocacy that is in there. So I have, as I said, I have to respectfully disagree with my colleague on that. I also think that OGC and the Audit Division got it right the first time on mailer 8. I believe that it should be included as an independent expenditure. In addition, this, I believe, is the last of the party committees that we have audited that were part of these massive joint fundraising committees that both President Trump and Secretary Clinton set up in the 2016 election. And in the joint fundraising regulations, they say right in them, they're not supposed to be a pathway for circumventing the contribution limits. They are a method for a bunch of different committees to get together and raise funds together. But what happened, in fact, in that election on both sides was that these massive joint fundraising committees were set up and money was raised. People would max out to the National Party Committee. They would also max out to the state party committees that were part of the joint fundraising committees. And the state party committees, as soon as they got the money, they'd pass it back to the National Party Committees, which is just a massive circumvention of the contribution limits. And if you want to read a really scintillating statement on this topic, you can go look at the statement that I issued in, I think, mid 2019 on both the Trump and the Hillary joint victory committees. So as I have with every other of these state party committees who has come through this process and was part of that, I am going to make a motion to add a new finding on the joint fundraising regulations on what I believe to be a violation of the joint fundraising regulations. And finally, I'm going to make a motion at the appropriate time to add a new finding with respect to the failure to maintain payroll logs. These payroll logs were required in BCRA so that it could be seen whether the party committees were complying with BCRA's requirements to have a certain amount of federal funds used to pay staff who were working on who spent at least 25% of their time on federal activities. And I do not believe that Congress intended for that law to be circumvented by the expedient of just declaring all of one's employees to be independent contractors and therefore no logs would be required. So at the appropriate time, I am happy to make a motion to approve the Audit Division recommendations with several enhancements.
Thank you, Commissioner Weintraub. Is there any other commissioner discussion?
I would just
I do.
Just go ahead.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm just going to add that I would support the enhancements of the proposed here, and as always on this issue.
Thank you, Commissioner Traynor. I believe you also wanted to speak.
I do have a question for OGC with regard to the issue of these joint fundraising committees and whether or not the Mississippi Republican Party has already been a respondent in MER 7339, where that issue was expressly addressed by the commission, and whether or not reasserting the same thing here that's already been denied by the commission previously would create some sort of procedural due process concerns.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Mr. Blum.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Traynor. I'm not certain. I recall at the moment. I'm not certain. I recall whether this party was a respondent in that MER. Perhaps somebody could.
I'm a pretty good lawyer. I don't ask a question if I don't know the answer to it. So the answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
They were a respondent in the Trump victory murder.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And since the commission already took action in that murder and did not go with Commissioner Weintraub's particular interpretation there, and we're reconsidering it here in dealing with Mississippi GOP as a standalone, have we not created some sort of procedural due process concern? Or, and I don't want to go, it's not a criminal context, so it's not a double jeopardy type situation, but clearly they haven't had a chance to respond to, other than in the previous MER, they haven't had a chance to respond to anything new that we would add here.
I'm not certain I'm able to respond to that question at present. That would be something I would need to consider.
Well, let me ask this. Do we think it would be appropriate, if we're going to add something new to this particular report, do we think it would be appropriate to allow the Mississippi Republican Party to respond to whatever is added additionally after this hearing?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Holloway.
Yes, I don't think direct assignment allows for the committee an opportunity to respond after the ADR. So even though it's actually possible to add findings, I don't think the direct assembly contemplates that the committee will get another opportunity to respond.
So we can just come. So theoretically, we can just come up with any violations that we think we can add them to this particular matter, and they get no opportunity to respond.
Well, I can say this, that no committee has actually raised that, and I can't say that we've done that a lot of times, but the possibility does exist. So I'm not saying there's not a due process argument with respect to that, if the committee were to raise that. I'm just saying, well, I'm laying out for what is actually possible right now in the Director 7.
Okay. Now, Commissioner Weintraub, I'm not sure I understand what your second additional finding would be.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Of course.
First of all, with respect to your procedural due process argument, which I don't think actually applies to these proceedings, I did make a similar motion at the preceding stage of the audit process for the specific purpose of allowing the committee to have a chance to respond to it. And my colleagues, it split 3-3, as I expect this will also split 3-3. So the committee was denied the opportunity to respond to the argument because my colleagues refused to allow that to happen. So I'm happy to allow them a chance to respond. We are where we are in the process. I tried to do that at an earlier point. So your other question is about the payroll logs?
Was that what your second motion was? Or the second part of your motion was payroll logs?
It's a four-part motion. One is to approve the ADRM as it stands, plus two to add mailer 8 to finding 3. Three is to add a new finding on the joint fundraising issue, and four is the payroll issue. So is it the payroll issue that you're asking about?
Yeah, that's the payroll issue is the one that I want to ask about. So I'll ask, I'll go back to council on that.
Sorry?
Well, it's my understanding that it was the issue of the contract workers was raised earlier in the audit
as far as the record keeping requirement was concerned, and that the auditors didn't challenge the committee's assertion that the contractors were not employees. Did I misread that? And you don't have to answer that, Commissioner Weintraub. They can answer that.
Okay.
We followed OGC's recommendation in LRA 1077 for the interim audit report. They recommended it would be revised the interim audit report to accept the committee's representation that personnel are contract workers.
Okay. Okay, I don't have any more questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner Traynor. Are there any questions? Any further questions for the Office of General Counsel or audit, or is there a motion? Commissioner Weintraub has hinted on this motion, and let's get right into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In audit division recommendation, with respect to audit division recommendation memorandum on the Mississippi Republican Party A17-15, I move to approve the audit division's recommendations. Add mailer 8 to finding 3, reporting about apparent independent expenditures and adjust the amount in violation accordingly, which would make it, I believe, $43,967. Add a new finding that the Mississippi Republican Party violated the joint fundraising regulations at 11 CFR section 102.17C when it received $1,587,962 in net proceeds from the Trump Victory Joint Fundraising Committee, and on the same day transferred $1,587,842 to the Republican National Committee. And finally, add a new finding that the Mississippi Republican Party failed to maintain any monthly payroll logs to document the percentage of time each employee spent in connection with a federal election, totaling $42,415.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this motion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Commissioner Cooksey.
I just wanted, because I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, I wanted to thank OGC and the audit staff, Mr. Bloom, Mr. Holloway, Mr. Morcombe, for their presentation. I thought it was very helpful. And I thought I might not get a chance to say that later, so I wanted to say it.
I agree.
I think we have a consensus on that part right there. So is there any discussion on the motion from Commissioner Weintraub? Seeing none, I will call the question. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed? No.
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 Also no.
Thank you. The motion fails with 3 votes in favor, with Commissioner Weintraub, Commissioner Walther, and myself, and 3 votes opposing, the Vice Chair, Commissioner Traynor, and Commissioner Cooksey. Is there any further motions? Are there any further motions?
Madam Chair, I have a motion.
Yes, Commissioner Traynor.
In this same matter, Mississippi Republican Party, A17-15, I would move to accept the audit division's recommendation with the removal of anything related to finding 3, reporting of apparent independent expenditures.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, I wonder if you would be willing to slightly reframe that, because I don't want to vote affirmatively for removing the finding 3, but if you could make that into a motion to approve findings 1 and 2, that would be something that I could support.
Okay. I will accept that as a friendly amendment to my motion, Madam Chair, so that my motion is now to accept findings 1 and 2.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on this motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. The motion passes 6-0. I think that is our only item on the agenda. So we have our final question, Mr. Staff Director. Are there any management or administrative matters that the commission needs to discuss today?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.